following podcast is part of the Underdog Sports Podcasting Network. For a full list of our shows, as well as breaking sports news and engaging feature stories, visit us at www.theunderdogsports.com.
Okay. Well, just for the record, we got the sun in Phoenix, too.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is the Sunny in Phoenix podcast. I am Charlie Erling. I have Davin Mitch Krumpetich.
What's up?
And David McGraw.
We're alive.
That's right. And this week, we are going to get into some moves the Suns made. We sadly traded Jared Dudley away, but we brought in Rashawn Holmes, and we guaranteed a couple contracts. So that's what we'll be covering today.
Follow us on Twitter at SunnyandPHXPod. Same thing for Instagram. Go on iTunes, leave us a 5-star review and a comment, and you will get a shout out on the show.
All right, let's start things off with the Jared Dudley trade. We sent Jared Dudley and a 2021 second round pick for Darrell Arthur. And it sounds like we're going to buy out Darrell Arthur right away and waive him. So we pretty much just cleared up a roster spot by this move. And I think we ended up saving a couple million bucks over the deal. So I guess the best thing to do is, like, let's just talk about our boy Jared Dudley. It's sad that he's leaving, kind of the dad of the locker room. I think he's played the 11th or 12th most games in Suns history. So he's been around for a long time on a few stints, but it's still sad to see him go yet again.
It is. And Dudley is actually the one of on the top 10 list for three-pointers made at number 7. I mean, every Suns fan loves Jared Dudley. If you don't, tweet at us and watch this. We're not going to get any tweets about people saying, oh, I hate Jared Dudley. No one hates Jared Dudley. Everyone loves him. He's awesome. Like, we can't.
Jazz fans hate Jared Dudley.
No Suns fans. But, like, Dudley has done so much for the team and the city over the years, and you never hear anything but good stuff about him. So it's tough that this is a good move for the team, like, basketball-wise, but, like, off the court-wise and just personality-wise, I'm going to miss him a lot. Again.
Yeah, and let's be honest. Like, this is also a good move for Jared Dudley. He was not going to get playing time, maybe at the last 15 to 20 games of the season. Maybe, like, if everyone's, like, going bad or we have injuries. But, like, he's just not going to get playing time with us. He's going to be at the end of the bench. And it sounds like he wants playing time. And he thinks he still has some stuff in the tank. Whether that is for showcasing himself a little bit on the Nets and then kind of getting waived or bought out the rest of his contract halfway through the year and going on a playoff team, which I think he still can do, but we'll just kind of have to wait and see. But I think that might be kind of what's going on, even though he is pretty happy about, sounds like, being on the Nets so he can get some playing time. And, you know, when you're making $10 million to get that playing time, who cares?
I don't know about that, though, because what came out on Twitter was that the Suns had been trying to buy Dudley out for 2 weeks and he didn't want to be bought out.
No, he didn't. I mean, because most of the time when you get bought out, you don't make your whole contract.
That's true. I don't know. I kind of think he wanted to stay in Phoenix a little bit, though. I would.
I think he wanted to keep on getting that $10 million paycheck. And it's everything. He did come out and say, like, and take it with whatever you want, that he did want to, like, be able to play and not just be on the end of the bench except for 15 to 20 games.
Right, and we saw what Jared Dudley could do last season even. Once he got in, the offense definitely ran a little more smoothly when he was on the court, and he did a great job finding cutters and picking up some assists, and he can still shoot the three. So I can see Dudley, you know, getting some minutes in Brooklyn, but I don't know to what extent, really. I'm just kind of wondering if their plan includes keeping him on the roster for the majority of the season or not.
Well, they've got a young core. They can use guys like Dudley that are positive locker room influences and help build up their guys. And, you know, maybe he gets traded since he will. I think this is his last year of his contract. He's an expiring, right? I feel like I have to ask that like each time. I'm pretty sure though. So like halfway through the season, maybe a playoff team wants him, and they just trade him, and he still gets his stuff, or like whatever. Who knows? Like we don't know.
We've heard all of this before. We said like that exact same thing about when he came to the Suns. That's so funny.
Well, I still believe it. I still believe in JMZ, and I always will.
Yeah, and if you put him in a good position, maybe a playoff team who has a young bench, who maybe get a little wild with the ball and turn it over a bit. Like, he's a guy that you can throw in with those young guys and maybe kind of be the glue of the group. So maybe that's a ideal situation for Duds.
Or maybe even a playoff team with just an inconsistent bench. Like, maybe a team like Oklahoma City just has super inconsistency and needs someone to be a little bit consistent, even if they don't score 20 points. And, you know, he ends up there after getting waived or whatever.
Houston.
Yeah, Houston.
They could use a three-point shooter.
Just happy we took Ariza from them, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, so moving on, and we'll talk about the Rashawn Holmes trade. And we made a trade with the 76ers to bring him in, and all we did is give them $1 million. So not really giving up an asset as it comes on the basketball court, which is very nice. And we bring in a 24-year-old guy who can possibly fill some minutes at the big when we're going to need it down the line, like maybe when Chandler gets run down and needs to take games off. I think Holmes is a great guy to throw in a situation like that.
Yeah, and, you know, we're not trying to, like, sugarcoat and say that, like, we're going to try and play him next to Ayton or any of that kind of stuff. We're saying he's a center. He's a rim-protecting center. That's what the Suns media has been saying, too. And I think this is a really cool move and really great, especially because, you know, Tyson can't play a whole season. Even if, you know, he is able to, like, put minutes on the bench as a backup role, he's just not going to be able to play much, and he's going to have to take time off. And Rashawn Holmes we're going to give him time to be able to kind of prove it and see if he can be a backup of the future, or, you know, worst case scenario, this is pretty low risk and it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, I agree with that. I also have a couple things. Chris Horwoodell from The Underdog, the guy who runs our whole network, shout out to Chris. He mentioned to us that Holmes is great energy guy, really positive influence on the court, off the court kind of thing. And Chris knows the Sixers very well, so I trust his judgment here. And I think that's something that we really need. I think we lacked a lot of inspiration on the court last year. We saw many, many examples of that we do not need to think about anymore. But I think adding someone like Holmes who is going to go out and give 100% every night is really good to have on the team. The other thing that I've seen that's interesting is I've seen a few people, mostly just on Twitter, saying, what does this mean for Marquese Chris? Maybe Marquese Chris is going to be having a little change of scenery because of this. I don't know. I'm not sure what to think, but I've seen a lot of people saying that, and I didn't mention anything to you guys before, but I wanted to bring it up now.
I don't think we're going to be moving Chris, but like these are kind of comparable players where they work really well as rim runners. They're going to block some shots, but they're not really physical enough to match up on centers a lot of the time. So I can see this stuff. And then you talk about the low basketball IQ. You can say that maybe both of them are a little subpar in that category, but I don't know. We're not moving Chris because we brought him in. Like, that's not the reason why we'd move Chris if we do.
Yeah, Rashawn Holmes isn't going to influence us moving Chris or not. And, like, Chris's shooting was abysmal this past season, but so was a lot of things about Chris. But, like, he still does have a good three-point shot, like, mostly. And hopefully if he's in shape, he'll be able to hit it that more. Rashawn Holmes has, like, no jump shot. He is, like, only a rim runner. He's only a shot blocker. He's only an energy guy. And yeah, like, they both aren't the best, like, basketball IQ guys. But, like, just because we picked up Rashawn Holmes and because, like, they can both be shot blockers or whatever, that's not going to influence stuff. I think that Chris is fine. We're not going to move him because we picked up Rashawn Holmes.
Well, and my thing with Chris as well is, who's going to take Marquise Chris right now? His trade value is lower than ever. Like, even if we did want to move him, we probably would not get anything very exciting back.
We're not going to move him. And, like, he's been the talk of part of the young core since it seems like we got for sure the number one pick. It's always been Chris part of the core. I
think that Marquise Chris is going to have a bounce back season. I really do. But I think another really good part about bringing Holmes in is he's going to be a guy who can really challenge Chris in practice. Another young guy. I mean, I'm sure Tyson and Dudley like could challenge, but it's just different when you've got one of those like really high energy guys who are similar in age, not trying to just like teach you constantly, you know. He's going to be someone that promotes a lot of really good competition for Marquise Chris, I think.
Kind of like what PJ Tucker did for TJ Warren.
Exactly. Yep.
And one thing about Holmes, in 2016-17, so two seasons ago, when he was getting quite a bit of run for the Sixers, he was actually shooting 35% from three, just on 1.5 attempts per game or so. So that's not anything crazy, but he really dropped off this next year, so last season. So it looks like the shot, like, maybe there's a little potential to stretch it out, but I wouldn't bank on it.
Yeah, there are two seasons where he's sub 20 and not by like a short margin, and then one season where it's not. So I think that it's more of a, he had kind of a fluky year.
Yeah, but like, that's fine. I mean, having more three-point shooting is always good. Like, you'll always take as much as you can get. But with Alex Len signing in Atlanta, which we knew was going to happen, we need a backup center, you know? And I think Holmes is just another guy who, you know, might have a tough time matching up with some of the bigger guys, but, you know, fills a need.
Yeah, and that's fair.
And, you know, just watching some highlight tapes from Holmes, I noticed one thing that I really liked, and it's a bit of like a push shot or near a floater. Like, if he catches on the high post, he can take one step in and put up that push shot. It seems like that's a good shot for him. And I really like how that just shows, like, basketball IQ and not trying to push it too much. You know, if there's a guy sitting right under the rim, rather than try to dunk over him every time, which maybe he could, he can settle for that little push shot. And that's what I like. And that's something that Big Sauce did, too, which is, you know, for those undersized big men, I like when they can utilize that.
Yeah, I think that'll be kind of cool. I think this is more of, you kind of just said it, a Big Sauce replacement, and it sucks. But I'm interested to see what Holmes can do. And I know I just said that I don't think that we're not trying to pretend like he's going to be a power forward or something. But there were some lineups run here or there with Rashawn Holmes and Joel Embiid both on the court together in Philly. And they weren't necessarily the worst thing. And I know that doesn't inspire a ton of confidence, but I think they were mostly positive. There just wasn't a whole lot like kind of going on, but you have a little bit more defense there and you're able to block a little bit more shots. So I wouldn't be it wouldn't be the biggest surprise if you see like Rashawn Holmes and Ayton kind of on the floor together here or there, just spot minutes.
Well, and when you're the Suns, you'll take not necessarily the worst. Because,
yeah,
like, we had the 30th ranked offense last year. It doesn't get worse.
That
not,
is, in fact, the
not
worst.
Not this year. Not this year.
And, you know, we talk if he maybe can play a little four. Like, that just speaks to some versatility that we really have at our big men spot. Chandler's going to have to take nights off. And we have Chris, Bender, and Holmes now who could all technically play the five. So we got bodies to throw at you everywhere but point guard, but I assume we'll be talking about point guard a different day.
Yep, I still think something's going to happen. I have no idea what, but we got to do something.
All right, so as a result of these moves here, we opened up a contract spot by getting rid of Dudley and waiving Arthur. So we were finally able to actually guarantee Davon Reed and Shaquille Harrison's contracts. So they'll definitely be on the NBA roster this season. And that's what Summer League is for. These guys went out there and proved it. They looked like the best two guys on the team every game, unless you count Ayton for one or two of those. But those guys showed up every night, and it was great. And that's what, like, Summer League is so essential to, like, these position battles. And I'm really glad these two showed out and locked down those spots because I think they deserve it.
And we talked about this so much already, but I'm really happy for these guys. They played super well. Check out our Summer League episodes that came out during Summer League for more analysis on this. But, I mean, 14 and 15 spots on the bench. I'm pretty happy that these two are the guys who are filling those spots.
Man, I'm really glad that we extended Davon's contract, like for it to be picked up and be whatever, so that way we could showcase him and then trade him after Summer League. Oh, wait, that didn't happen. We just guaranteed it because he showed out. Oh, yeah, that's right. That sounds more accurate. I'm glad. I love Shaq. I love Davon. I hope that they get some minutes, and I hope that, you know, they push the guys in front of them.
All right, real quickly, what will it take for these guys to see minutes? Do you think Shaq has backup point guard locked up? Do you think Davon's pushing Troy Daniels for his minutes right now? What do you think?
No to Davon. Davon will need to come into the game and shoot 100% from three, probably.
For like 20 games.
And not allow a point, unfortunately. Shaquille Harrison is a little bit more interesting, though. I still kind of want to give Eli Okobo a little bit more of a look at backup point guard. Like, Shaq is great when it comes to defense and tenacity and those kind of things, getting to the rim. But I think Okobo deserves a shot at least to get that passing in, a little bit better shooting, a little bit better IQ maybe. I'd like to see that at least.
And speaking to Okobo real quick, in Summer League, we saw him pick up quite a few assists in the limited minutes he had. And how did Ayton score all of his buckets in Summer League? How is the only way Tyson Chandler gets buckets, not on rebounds, and then Rashawn Holmes, who can jump out of the gym, like, how are they going to get their buckets? It's going to be a lot of alley-oops.
Lobs.
And I like that from Okobo. I think he has that vision a little more than Shaq does.
Yeah, I think that, you know, Summer League doesn't say everything. We still have training camp. We still have preseason. Like, there's still a ton of time to figure this out. I think that Shaq probably is a little bit in the lead after Summer League. But Okobo showed enough to where it's not... Like, Shaq showed out, but Okobo showed enough to still make it competitive, like, for this. And going into training camp, and there still is going to be competition. Igor said, basically, there's competition across every position except for one. And that's starting shooting guard. So, like, duh. And
that's the correct answer.
Yeah. So, like, there is going to be competition. Davon Reed is not beating out Troy Daniels, not like in our wildest dreams. Well, maybe in our wildest dreams, but like it's our dreams within dreams where that happens, and it's like possible. So the Shaq Okobo thing is going to be really interesting to watch through training camp and preseason.
For sure. All right, so we actually got a really interesting Twitter question this week. Our Twitter, again, is at SunnyandPHXPod. Feel free to send us in any questions. But this comes from Kelly, K-E-L-L-E-Y, Mangahas. If that's wrong, please correct me. But he says, "Hey guys, big Phoenix Suns fan from the Philippines. Thank you. Love our international fans. That's so awesome. Got a question. No one really talks about TJ Warren anymore with the rise of Josh Jackson and the influx of new wings. What does he need to do to stay relevant in Phoenix? Or is he on his way out?" We've talked about this a little bit, but I don't know. I thought that was just a really good question, and the way that was phrased was really good. Like, with this influx of new wings and Josh Jackson kind of taking the team and, like, diehard NBA fans by storm a little bit. Like, what is in store for TJ?
You know, I hope this guy caught on the Sun subreddit the other day. It was, like, TJ Warren Day. And there were at least 10 TJ Warren posts in one day. It was kind of crazy. But I think, who knows what's going to happen with our small forward and wing rotation. Like, none of us really know. We brought in Ariza, who was a big part of a good team last year, who pretty much plays the same position and stretches the floor out a little better than TJ does, a lot better than
and
TJ
defense.
Does. And defense. I think if TJ's going to really get minutes, like big minutes on this team, there's going to have to be something that improves, and it's either going to be his defense or his rebounding. If he's 6'8", I think he averages under 5 rebounds per game over his career. I think that's something that needs to step up if TJ really wants to have the same role he did last season.
I mean, I think it's pretty clear he's not going to have the same role he had last season because of the addition of new wings and just, you know, Josh Jackson is our guy at the three. I think that's pretty clear. I mean, TJ is on a very team-friendly contract for the numbers he puts up. He averaged almost 20 points a year last season. A good team bringing him off the bench, that could be amazing. You know, I think it's pretty clear TJ is going to come off the bench, and I think what he has to do is just destroy these second units. And he's going to have to fight really hard for his minutes. But I have no idea what this rotation is going to look like.
All right. So I've been racking my brain about TJ for ever, it seems like, now. TJ is very strange, and yes, he scores really well, really close to the rim. He is able to do that. He's able to hit those, like, mid-range jump shots. His three-point shooting is abysmal, and obviously Josh isn't much better, but there's two things that Josh at least does that TJ just can't do, and that's, you know, defend and, like, make plays for his teammates. And obviously Josh hasn't done a ton of that, but he has shown way more flashes than TJ, who is, like, one of the worst, like, has basically the assist rate of a big, and he's a wing. And that's not good. And I hate this, and I love TJ, and I've been so happy with, like, him on the team. I'm so glad that he's shown out, and even though, like, been hurt and stuff, but I'm honestly just, the thought in my head is always, like, is there a spot? And I think there is obviously a spot in the NBA for him, but is there a spot on our roster for him? And I'm just not sure. And especially with bringing in Trevor Ariza and drafting Mikal. Like, I thought drafting Mikal, it was like, all right, well, that's interesting. So are we going to play him at, like, whatever? Like, what do we do now? And then we brought in Ariza, and it's like, okay, now what are we doing? Like, now we have all these wings. Obviously, you can't have enough, but, like, all these guys do, like, really good smart things, and like TJ does smart things too, but like the other guys can pass and will not just like get tunnel vision to the rim.
I hope there's a big competition going on between every guy who's listed at small forward on our roster, trying to figure out who can guard power forwards the best. Like, who can do it? I don't even know, but it's, those guys are going to deserve minutes at the four. If we're going to stretch things out a bit, I think they should see, like, some of those guys should be able to do it.
Yeah, that's what we're going to have to do.
Like, if we don't trade a wing, and it's looking like TJ Warren is maybe the guy that gets traded out of this group, I just can't imagine how this is all going to work.
No, it's, so, unfortunately, the answer to the question is none of us have any idea, but I think it's a great question and something really good to think about. So if anyone has opinions on TJ, send them to our Twitter at Sonny and PHX Pod. But speaking of, we have revamped our non-sports section of the show. So instead of doing Mitch's Face Melting Minute, which you can still find on Spotify the playlist is the same name. I'm going to continue to add to it. Or David's Comic Book Corner, which you can find at...
at DavidJMZ21 on Twitter.
So instead of doing those things, we're going to answer one non-sports related question per week. You know, the three of us talk a lot throughout the week, every day. We don't always talk about basketball. And sometimes some interesting conversations come up. And we're like, why not bring that a little bit more to the show? You've heard us talk about our favorite cheese, our favorite ice cream, things like that. We're going to continue that. So instead of our plugs, we're going to talk about one question. If you want to tweet a non-sports related question, please do. If not, maybe we'll just think of something that we talked about throughout the week. This week, I'm going to bring up something that David and I talked about briefly this week and decided, you know what, we need to pause this conversation and save it for the pod. So the question is, when it comes to water, does it have a flavor? Is water flavorless, or is it flavored like water? What does that mean, though? What does water taste like? Nothing or water?
Let's hear it, Chuck.
Okay. I think water tastes like nothing. I think water is flavorless. Because whenever you pour anything with flavor into water, it doesn't taste like water anymore.
Now, that's like, interesting. That is interesting.
Think about, like, taking a drink of salt water. Like, you can't be like, oh, this tastes like water. No, it tastes like salt.
Or even a little lemon wedge can make a world of difference.
Yeah.
Here's where I come in on this. I think that, and this is kind of what goes on, and water taste changes depending on what kind of water you're drinking, what brand of water you're drinking. And that's going to change through, like, the minerals that are added to the water. You see these things about, like, pH balances in water and, like, all these minerals that are in waters. And that's what kind of gives you the flavor of this idea of what water tastes like. I think, like, if you got a water that didn't have any of that stuff, like, nothing in it, none of the minerals or whatever, and just drank it plain, it would taste like nothing. But when you drink this... like, the you're drinking water, your normal drinking water, it has specific minerals to, like, make it good, like, make sure it's good, and make sure, like, it's pure, in quotes, whatever, and make you feel like it's pure, in quotes, whatever, and that gives it this kind of taste, and and changes the taste of, like, the water that you're drinking. There's, like, water black that has, like, this mineral in it that kind of changes the color of the water, and it also changes the flavor a little bit. You look at, you know, the core water is really popular with the kids right now, and that has, like, a higher pH balance, and that has a little bit of a different taste than some of these other waters. And, like, that's kind of where, like, I think it is. The taste of water that you think of is really the taste of these minerals that are added to the water to, like, get this kind of weird taste. And actual water would taste like nothing without it.
Okay. So, yeah, that... my question to you was, if every water tastes different, then what does water taste like?
Nothing. That's what I just said.
Nothing. Okay. So here's where I come in on this. I want to change the phrase nothing to flavorless. I don't think you can taste nothing. I just want to use flavorless instead.
Yes, that's what that's I mean. That's where I'm at. Flavorless.
That is where I'm at.
Flavorless.
Because actually, you can have flavored water.
Here's the thing, though. I don't know if David's going to be in on this, but Mitch may be in on this.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of artesian well water?
Yes, I have.
Have you tasted it?
I have, yes. Many times.
It tastes crazy, doesn't it? Yes. It's insane how it tastes, but it's obviously just fine to drink and all that. That's where I get thrown for a little hitch, because, like, whatever minerals are... however that water comes to taste the way it does, that would throw me for a loop. I could maybe get my wife in here to, like, she's a farm girl. She drank that, but, like, straight for years and years.
I drank it growing up too. So,
like, in your house, did you have, like, you had an artesian well?
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. That's what our house was. So yeah. But no, it does taste a lot different. And that's actually something I was going to bring up, though. Well water, or even just between towns and cities, water tastes different everywhere you go. I mean, everyone who lives in Phoenix knows that the water here tastes really weird, and you gotta have a filter.
But the water in Flagstaff is dope, because you get all that, like, snow runoff water.
Right, right. It's different everywhere, you know. So that's why I'm going to go flavorless. And when you add these minerals or a lemon wedge or whatever, that's when it changes the flavor a little bit.
And these minerals don't, like, if you add flavor to it, like, you get some, you get your crystal lights, as we would say. When you add those, the crystal lights, like the minerals aren't like that, like give you that little, like that make you think it tastes like water. It's not enough to like overpower and change the taste of like the crystal light stuff. Like the crystal light overpowers that, and that's kind of what goes on. So yes, Mitch, we are in agreement.
We are. Now I want to add one quick thing to this. Is the reason that water is like this, do you think it's because our bodies are made up of like 70 to 80% water? Is that why?
Oh my goodness. I forgot about this part
of the
conversation.
We're going too deep. We're going
too
deep now.
Okay. I don't really have an answer to that either, because I'm not a medical professional.
But then the question's for Mitch. If you want a little bit of a back into like
I can
the
go
mind
deeper.
Of Mitch, it goes into, well, if we just ate chocolate cake for like ever.
No.
What does the air we breathe in taste like?
Listen, this is the question. Is it also because we drink water every single day of our lives and it's part of us? If you, from the day you were born, every single day, you ate a chocolate donut, and now I know donuts are a hot button issue on this show, but if you ate a chocolate donut every single day of your life from the day you were born, when you were an adult, would you still be able to taste it?
It tastes like nothing.
Oh my gosh. We're not. Save it for another pod.
All right. Just think on that for the rest of the week.
And actually, there was actually a big article about NBA players and like what their favorite waters were. I think it was on Bleacher Report a little while back, but I think like Fiji may have been number one. I think that was the way to go.
That's
like Fiji's legit. Fiji's legit.
If I'm gonna pick up a water off whatever in a store, I'm picking Fiji each time.
Hey, you know what I'm going with? Arrowhead. I am a big fan of Arrowhead water.
I go straight out of the green hose, boys. I don't even mess around. I just go out back and have a little
classic
drink.
And it burns your face during the summer because it's
hot
out.
You got to let like 5 gallons of it run out through your hose before it cools down. I learned that the hard way. All right. Is that everything? I think that's everything.
That's it.
Thank you guys for tuning in. We were going to take the week off, but there were just too many moves. We had to come back. So we'll see you again next week, and go Suns.